Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
And a good Wednesday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz as I've been all week long. He'll be back on Monday, January 4th, to welcome in the new year. But the rest of the way, you got myself in his chair, Connor Thomas, who's been producing all week. He is in my chair. And today's going to be an interesting day. And I can tell just based off of a few reactions to a Twitter poll that we put up before the show. And I realized this morning when I was texting Connor. We never did the Festivus, the airing of grievances on December 23rd. And I think, you know, there was a lot going on. The Eagles were playing still. The Sixers, it was the first day of their game, right? They were tipping off their season. And I sit here and I go, all right, you know, there's a lot going on. We don't need to do airing of grievances. But 1 week removed, now it's December 30th. Hell yeah, we need to do an airing of grievances. Because my God, is there anger in Philadelphia sports. And it goes for all kinds of reasons, right? You want to look at the Phillies. Right, the Padres, who are supposed to be a small market team, are making moves left and right, and the Phillies are sitting on their hands. They make a move yesterday for a guy who, yeah, he has a lively arm. He also had an ERA of 6 last year. Perfect fit for the Phillies bullpen. Nah, I think he'll be better. The Sixers win yesterday, but my God, was there anger throughout the entire game, and rightfully so. They played a very poor game until they had a nice run before halftime, where they then gave up a run, and then they came back and won the game in the fourth quarter. The Eagles, don't even get me started. We want guys to be fired left and right. And I'm not disagreeing with you. Let me be clear. The anger that has been out there with all of these teams, I am not disagreeing with you. That's why I believe we need an airing of grievances. I know it's 1 week late from that Festivus on December 23rd, but I think we need to do it today. Because last night, in the very first 3 minutes of the Sixers game, Ben Simmons was trending because they wanted him traded. In the first 5 minutes of the Sixers game, Danny Green was trending because he stinks. And now nobody said bring back Horford. Nobody said that. But people were saying, wow, I got excited for this. For what reason? And I totally understand. Danny Green has been a major disappointment so far through this start of the season in the four games. Ben Simmons is always, a pain in people's sides. Joel Embiid goes down at one point. Everybody goes, here we go. Season over. Joel Embiid's hurt. They can't win without this guy, which is true. We saw it on Sunday night against the Cleveland Cavaliers when nobody decided to play for the Sixers. It was an absolute mess last night, but the Sixers did prevail and they ended up winning. Eagles, we want guys fired. Phillies, we hate the front office, even though it's already a new front office. There's a lot of anger in Philadelphia sports. And just before the show, we put out a Twitter poll on the station's account, 975 The Fanatic, and I asked a simple question. Who of these crowds anger you the most? And I'll give you the poll coming up later on. But right away, it's screw you, Fanatic. Blah, blah, blah. You guys suck. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, all right. And it's probably because you were a part of one of those four groups. And because you were mentioned in a crowd that may anger people, you now had to defend yourself. Because that's what 2020 has been, whether it's been politics, whether it's been sports, whether it's been recipes, whether it's been cars, whatever you're passionate about, you can't just have a normal conversation, right? There's always got to be anger. There's always, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. Blah, 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 blah. So I had a conversation with somebody yesterday that's very important to me. I look at him as a mentor, right? And I'm trying to figure out how to do this hosting thing for, you know, whenever I fill in for Anthony. Obviously, I do the show Saturdays with Jamie. I do post game. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out who I am on the radio. Now, I think I'm this high energy guy who comes in here, not yelling and screaming, but yeah, I talk a mile a minute. I believe that. But I also like to consider myself the guy who tries to see it from both sides. And that's where I'm at when I talk about sports. I am passionate about my opinion, Right? Like, I am passionate that I believe Carson Wentz can still figure it out. I don't think Carson Wentz is cooked. I don't think he should be out of the league. I may believe that he can't win here, but I still think at one point he will be a good quarterback again in the NFL. I am passionate that Ben Simmons could be a good basketball player down the road, but I think it would have been a pretty damn good idea to move on from him before the start of the season, because with James Harden, you are automatically a contender, in my opinion. Like, that's I'm passionate about my opinion, but I also like to hear from the other side. I don't get all angry. No, screw you, you're wrong. Maybe I did a few years ago, but as I am, like 67 years old, that's what you guys think I am, right? I'm 27 going on 67. Maybe I've matured beyond my years in the recent years here at the station. I've been here for 5 years now, 6 years now. So when I see people get so angry, and I kind of thought of this idea this morning when I woke up, I put on Jason. I wanted to hear what Jason was talking about this morning, and he was talking about Carson Wentz. And he used numbers to back it up. I've heard hundreds of phone calls, not just on Carson Wentz, any sports topic there is, where somebody gives numbers that rips a player, and then somebody gives numbers that backs up a player. And then again, there's that clash. There's that, no, you're wrong, you're wrong. Sometimes you have to look away from the numbers. Sometimes, yeah, the numbers do tell the story. Carson Wentz this season was near the bottom, if not at the very bottom, amongst a lot of categories. A lot of categories in the NFL. Russell Wilson will only get sacked more because Carson Wentz has been benched, right? So there's a lot of numbers where he's at the top for a bad thing and at the bottom for a good thing, right? Oh, it'd be good to have this many completions, but he's toward the bottom, right? Carson Wentz has been a problem this year. And you can give numbers defending him. You can give numbers bashing him. Either way, there are people on opposing sides, and it always comes back to this yelling and screaming match. So what I want to do today, and the number, you know it, 610-632-0975. For 4 hours today, I want you to do the airing of grievances. Because I look at this just damn awful sports city right now. The Sixers, yeah, they won yesterday, but it was extremely frustrating for the majority of the game. The Phillies, people are pissed off about. The Flyers, we have to wait until January 13th to actually see play, so they might be out of the conversation. And the Eagles, listen, again, I don't need to say anything. We want to fire the coach. We want to fire the GM, and I agree. Adam Schefter was on with Jason this morning and basically said that nobody's leaving. And I go, what? How is that possible? How is it possible that now nobody is leaving? Is it only going to change that now Doug Peterson has more say in personnel because of what he said at the end of his press conference on Monday? Is that all that there is to it? So now everybody's going to be happy. Let's try to fix this. No, you were supposed to try to fix it going into this season. You were supposed to try to fix it going into the 2019 season. And things only got worse and worse. So I want to find out what is making you most angry with Philadelphia sports right now. And that's when I will lead you to the poll on 975 The Fanatic that is, of course, getting a lot of angry responses. And I just don't know why, but I guess my guess is that people are just not happy right now. It's a simple question. Who angers you the most? And there's only four options. I mean, you can add an option if you want. And the poll of the day is brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcans.com. I normally give the poll out in the 11 o'clock hour, you name it, but it's pretty important when you see this. Who angers you the most? Here are your four options that are all in the poll. The Carson Wentz defenders, the Jalen Hurts is the savior believers, the Ben Simmons defenders, and the trade Ben Simmons crowd. Now, people are floored because we're trying to split up the fan base, right? That's what somebody actually said. Isn't the fan base already split up? Connor Thomas is producing the show today. Are we one group right now as Philadelphia sports fans?
Morning, Andrew. No, I wouldn't say we are.
Okay, so is this poll trying to split up the fan base, or is it because these are actual conversations, right? The people that back up Carson Wentz to no end. The people that believe Jalen Hurts. I had a guy calling me awful names a couple weeks ago, telling me that Jalen Hurts was going to carry the Eagles to a Super Bowl next season. I go, what are you talking about, dude? And I'm not saying Jalen Hurts can't play. But, I mean, that's how crazy we are right now. That is how crazy we are. That people believe that Jalen Hurts is going to win a Super Bowl for the Eagles within a year or two. There are the people that think Carson Wentz does not belong in the NFL anymore, that he should play in the CFL. There's people that say Ben Simmons is still going to be Magic Johnson, which, listen, I used to say it. I can't say it anymore. But then there's also people that want to move Ben Simmons for a bag of balls, and I just don't get it. I don't get it. So, Connor, I mean, is it really us trying to split up the fan base?
No, you're making an observation. You're making an observation. You know what it is? It's when you point something out about someone. Like, a great example is when you tell your significant other they need to calm down. You know they're overreacting, but as soon as you point something out that they're doing, they realize they're doing it, and they get upset at you for pointing it out. They try and direct that anger. That's right. What you're doing. You're pointing out a problem.
Yes.
And they're directing it to you. Like, you caused the problem. We didn't cause the problem. The fan base was divided because of everything that happened this year. We're asking you, where do you stand?
Yeah, because if I look at these four options, right, there is not one Philadelphia sports fan that isn't in one of these, right? There isn't one. Now, Carson Wentz, I'm not a Carson Wentz defender, right? Like, I'm not saying Jason defended Carson Wentz today till, like, you know, he's dying on Carson Wentz Hill. He gave numbers that stated this is why you can't just, you shouldn't move on from Carson Wentz. Now, I'll say you also can't move on from Carson Wentz because you're going to be paying this ridiculous dead cap hit of around $40 million, right? And that's 20% of your cap next year. So to me, the most logical thing, and Jason said this as well, the most logical thing is to try and fix Carson Wentz because, yes, this year he was terrible. Last year, eye test may say he wasn't all that great, but numbers say that he was. The previous year, 2018, when he has the broken back, numbers tell him he did good. Eye test, he didn't look healthy. 2017, we know how he played, right? In 2016, he was a rookie. And all I hear is numbers that say he stinks, numbers that say he's good, and then, oh, no, you got to use your eyes. Well, yeah, you know what? As a guy who believes that Carson Wentz can play, my eyes have told me that he hasn't been all that great in the last couple of years. So I can't die on Carson Wentz Hill, but I also can't help but think, all right, I don't think Doug Peterson's a good head coach. I think Howie Roseman has put this football team, this franchise, in a terrible position. And I think they should both be moved on from, as well as Jim Schwartz, as well as Dave Phipp. Clean out the entire house. Don't give me Deuce Staley, right? I hear that all the time. Deuce Staley would be a good head coach. From what? What do you know that Deuce Staley will make a good head coach? You know nothing about that. I know he's been in the league for a long time, coached with the Pittsburgh Steelers, coached with the Eagles, been with the team for a long time. Let's give him an OC job first. And I don't even want to do that just yet because I think his running back rotations, which is his job, sucks. I don't think he's good at that. I would rather just clean house. That's it. So, yeah, maybe call me a Carson Wentz defender, but I'm also going, all right, I've seen this guy have a ton of talent. I've seen the talent with my own eyes. I've seen the struggles with my own eyes. I've seen the good numbers. I've seen the bad numbers. Clearly, he's somewhere in the middle. I don't think he should be out of the NFL. I don't think he should be in the conversation of elite quarterbacks. Those are gone. So I think he's somewhere in the middle. This guy can either be fixed or he's a lost cause. I don't think we know that answer just yet. What I do know is Jalen Hurts, three games alone, you cannot call him a savior. You can't say that. Now, you can say, I believe in Jalen Hurts. He played for Alabama, played for Oklahoma, right? Had three, I would say one very good game against the Arizona Cardinals, an okay game against the New Orleans Saints, number one ranked defense, so I'll give him a couple extra points because it was the number one ranked defense. He did not play well against Dallas. He did not, and that was in a game where if you won, you stayed alive in playoff contention. He was a part of that loss. Was he the biggest issue? No, but was he a part of it? Yes. And then I see it wasn't his fault. It was Doug's fault, the players around him. And I go, I've been saying the same damn thing for Carson Wentz. So why is it okay to say that about Jalen Hurts, but not okay to say that about Carson Wentz? Just because Wentz is in year five and Hurts is a rookie? If a guy's dropping the ball for a rookie, do you think he should just automatically catch the ball for a fifth-year quarterback? If a guy can't design a game plan for a rookie, you telling me that Carson Wentz, even though the game plan is just as bad, he should overcome that? No, it goes hand in hand. The Ben Simmons defenders. I can't do it anymore. I can't. I can no longer defend Ben Simmons. Because even last night, in a game where the Sixers won, in a game where it was an incredible come-from-behind victory, a game where the 2019-20 Sixers have no chance of winning,
Last year's Sixers had no chance of beating the Raptors last night. Not just the Raptors, period, but in that kind of fashion where they had to come back, come from behind. Ben Simmons yesterday, close to a triple-double, but it was one of those bogus ones, right? 10 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. The only thing he did really well was D-up. He D'd up Pascal Siakam, and Siakam shot 8 of 23. Siakam had good, like he had a high point total, but that shooting percentage, 8 of 23, is not good. But Ben Simmons, again, 3 of 11 from the field. And it was bad misses. Bad misses, like clanking it off the rim on layups. It was bad. Other open opportunities that he just did not take. Free throws, he looked okay. 5 of 8, still only 62.5%, but the free throw form looks a little bit better. But I can't sit here anymore and point out just the great things that Ben Simmons does. Because the biggest glaring weakness is the lack of points. And what happened when Joel Embiid went down? The Sixers, they couldn't find an answer. The Sixers, if Joel Embiid could not return into the game last night, they would have had no shot of winning. That was Joel Embiid by himself and Tobias Harris. And that's another conversation we'll have. Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid were the reasons why they won yesterday. Seth Curry hit the big three. But let's, you know, it was really Embiid and Harris. Harris did a great job when Embiid was out trying to carry the load. But Ben Simmons was once again lost. So I can't defend Ben Simmons anymore. But I still get concerned about trading him. And that's why my brain is in a pretzel. Like, I mean, Connor, we talked about this yesterday. We both know what Ben Simmons can be. We don't know if it will be that, but we know what he could be. So that's why we kind of hesitate on trading him. But all I know is having a 30-point-a-night guy in James Harden or anyone would help this team a lot.
Yeah, no doubt. You saw it right from the jump, though, with Ben. He took the opening possession for the Sixers, just drove right down, immediate left-handed layup. Got right by, I think it was Pascal Siakam.
Yep.
Right to the rack, no problem. It looks so easy. And then he just doesn't do it. And the most damning thing was Joel Embiid getting hurt and having that injury and going to the locker room. And Ben just refuses to do anything different. He doesn't step up. He doesn't start taking the ball to the rim more. He doesn't shoot. He doesn't do anything different. Tobias Harris stepped up. So the other shooters made big shots for a little bit. They fell behind because they couldn't defend anybody inside. But, dude, when your best player goes down, if you're Ben Simmons and you're this guy who wants to be an all-star and wants to be the number two or maybe even the number one if he progresses, that has to be your team when Joel Embiid goes down. And it just very clearly wasn't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it makes no sense and it drives me crazy. And that's why I can't defend the guy anymore. And I wonder if there's people still out there. I'm sure that there are. You know, it's only been 4 games into the season. Right before the season started, I heard a lot of calls that you can't trade Ben Simmons. And all I said was, yeah, I'm concerned about trading Ben. But I also know what James Harden could bring me on a given night. So here are your 4 options again. Carson Wentz defenders, the Hurt Savior believers, Ben Simmons defenders, and the trade Ben Simmons crowd. The majority of people are voting. The Hurt Savior believers are making them angry the most. That's at 40%. The trade Ben Simmons crowd is at 28%, which is crazy that that's the second highest. The Ben Simmons defenders is the third highest at 18%, and the Carson Wentz defenders at 14%. So it's crazy to me, Connor, that after one bad game from Jalen Hurts, I think people are starting to realize that Jalen Hurts finally did have a bad game, that the majority of people are angry about the Jalen Hurts is the savior believers, and the least in terms of this poll are the Carson Wentz defenders.
Well, it's the new kid on the block. Jalen Hurts' saviors are the newest ones here. People have wanted to trade Ben Simmons since he got here.
Okay, yeah.
People have been defending Ben Simmons since he got here, and people have been out on Carson since Nick Foles happened. So these Jalen Hurts, they're the newest one. So it's probably the freshest. Like, they just showed up a couple weeks ago and are now trying to say that this new guy is all of a sudden, he's the second coming of Tom Brady.
Right.
Whatever you want to call him. So because they're the newest ones, I'd imagine they're probably the freshest anger. Like, they're just coming out of the woodwork. And
it's over
that's
the top.
What,
it's over the top. Like, when a guy tells me he's going to win the Super Bowl next year with this roster, I go, are you freaking kidding me? Like, are you dumb? I have to ask you, are you dumb? Because this roster sucks, right? Now, I didn't put Howie Roseman defenders in there because there's nobody left, right? I didn't put Doug Peterson defenders in there because there's very little people. I don't think people get angry if somebody defends Doug Peterson. I really don't. Because I can make excuses for Doug just like I can make excuses that people say for Carson Wentz. So I want to do the airing of grievances. It's 1 week removed from Festivus, but here's what I want to do. We are 2 days away from the start of 2021. That means we are 2 days away, or a day and, 14 hours away from ending what was an awful, awful, awful year. For Philadelphia sports, for your personal lives, you name it, this year has sucked. And I can't wait for it to come to an end. As we did yesterday, we had some end of the year, fun side topics. We have some more today, and it's all about Philadelphia sports. And I need your help, because this is going to be kind of a 2 day side topic or show or whatever you want to call it. Because tomorrow, I want to find out what the best moment in Philadelphia sports was this year, which is hard to come by. Let me tell you, Connor and I looked for a list. It was slim pickings in terms of the best moment in Philadelphia sports. I also want to find out what the worst moment in Philadelphia sports was. And boy, were there a lot, because this year has sucked. There have also been some moments that some may say is good and some may say is bad. Jalen Hurts getting drafted is one of them. Was that more of a good thing or a bad thing that happened to Philadelphia? I say bad because I think it totally messed with the head of Carson Wentz. I think it did not help the team that you needed to build around Carson Wentz. I think it was a waste of a second round pick. So I'd go ultimately bad. But there are people out there that believe Jalen Hurts should start. So they would say that was the best moment of 2020 for Philadelphia sports. I want to narrow it down to the top four for both, and we'll do those polls tomorrow. But because we do have a lot of bad and a more than four good, we need to narrow that down throughout the show today. We'll give you those. We have audio highlights from them. We have a lot of fun show planned for you today, so make sure you join us. 610-632-0975. We currently have two open lines. Chris, Dwayne, Aaron, and Marcus, you guys hang tight. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. I mentioned it going into the break that there is a 2-minute cut from Doug Peterson's press conference today where it was the epitome of what's wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles. And we'll get to that in a second. I also want to let you guys know, in the 12 o'clock hour, so I've been doing all show long, we're trying to find out the best moments of 2020 in Philadelphia sports, which are hard to come by. Like, the list that we have in front of us, there's not many, okay? It's been an awful Philadelphia sports year. There's been a lot of bad moments. And then there's some that you could, some will feel that they're good, some will feel that they're bad. And the prime example is Jalen Hurts getting drafted. I personally think that was a bad moment in 2020. Why? Because you just invested heavily in Carson Wentz, and you did not show your support as an organization by drafting Jalen Hurts. Now, I will say, my man's got to, sack up, bro. Don't be so nervous that Jalen Hurts is right behind you. No, overcome it. Play well, prove the organization wrong. Don't go in your shell and fall apart, which he did this year. And that's a problem. But I still think it was a bad pick. So I go bad moment. But I know that there are people that love the pick and think he's going to win a Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts, for the Eagles. So they think it's a good moment. So I want you guys to continue on the phones at 610-632-0975, along with everything else we're talking about. Give me the best moment of 2020 and the worst moment of 2020 in Philadelphia sports. And tomorrow, the four best ones that we get, we will put out as the polls, and we'll have them answered, and we'll figure that out. But right now, It's not great. Slim pickings for the good moments. But in the 12 o'clock hour, we actually have audio for the ones that we kind of figured out ourselves, Connor and I, before the show. So we'll play the audio, some clips that go down memory lane. A lot of it, not the best memories. So we'll go through that. But as I mentioned, Doug Peterson spoke to the media today. And Zach Berman of The Athletic asked a very interesting question that we have talked about at length. And Doug Peterson actually gave a long answer. So take a listen.
Hey, Doug. Good morning. You've mentioned Jalen Reagor in that first answer. And I understand you're putting him in on the fly here, but there are rookie receivers who are having a lot of production this year. And something similar happened last year with JJ. When you look at the investments you've made at that position and why you're not getting that production, is it the evaluation? Is it the development? Is it the scheme? What's the disconnect there at that position?
You're trying to point the finger in different directions. Jalen's a talented guy, and a lot of it will fall on us as coaches, right, to prepare our players and get them ready. And then a lot of it, the other half of it, falls on the player to get himself prepared and how well he comes in and understands and picks up the offense in this case. I mean, shoot, what was it, week two against the Rams is when he got hurt? And now he misses 6 weeks, and now he's done for 6 weeks, and so that growth process, you're starting to see glimpses of it now towards the end of the season with him that we were hoping for, you know, in weeks 3 and 4 of the regular season, but he had the injury and it set him back, and so yeah, I think you look around the league and you do see some young players who are on teams with some veteran players. They don't have the amount of injuries that we have, right? They don't have the offensive line injuries that we have or different things that are going on. Now, I'm not speaking for every team. I don't know that. But all that plays a part into the success that we have individually on the field and collectively as a football team. But I think you look back on it and it falls on us, obviously, as coaches to prepare, and that falls directly on me to, and maybe I've got to install plays better. Maybe we have to scale back a little bit more. Maybe we can't overload a player as we go. But these are things that we were learning on the fly with all of our young players.
So that's about 2 minutes, which is the epitome of your Philadelphia Eagles. Evaluation process and not being able to put these guys in the correct game plan. Because he likes to bring up the injuries all of a sudden. Where in 2017, my man was chest out. Hey, next man up. You know, somebody goes down. It doesn't matter. Next man up. Now, all of a sudden, in this week alone, he has put the blame on injuries multiple times. Why? Because he's probably trying to save his job. And I get it. I don't blame the guy for doing that. But man, you can't have your chest out 3 years ago when everything's going well because everybody that got hurt, you had a good backup to replace him. You can't give me injuries this year now all of a sudden. Yeah, Jalen Reagor missed 6 weeks. And you can't game plan for Jalen Reagor 6 weeks, you know, from that moment, right? You got to figure out who you got on the field. But you did have guys right there on your roster. Like, I saw Quez Watkins. Listen, I don't think he's Jerry Rice. But I saw Quez Watkins 2 weeks ago. Simple wide receiver screen. That's all. That's one of Doug's favorite plays. And it drives me. I hate the wide receiver screen, the flash pass. It's awful because it never works for the Eagles. But I saw a simple wide receiver screen that they gave to Quez Watkins. The first time they ran that play for Watkins, who has the most speed out of all the Eagles wide receivers. And what happened? He breaks one for a touchdown. So that guy's been on your roster all season long. You've kept him on the practice squad. You've kept him inactive. You make him active, but you don't go to him. You design a play for a guy based off of his strength, which is speed, and it works out. And it takes until week 15 to do that. Jalen Reagor, I don't think is a guy that you can go downfield with. He's a guy that you got to get in space. It took until, and I get it, he missed 6 weeks because of injury. It took until what, week 13 was when Jalen Hurts made his first start, where he threw that pattern to Jalen Reagor going over the middle of the field, that pick play. It was an illegal pick play. Zach Ertz should have been flagged, but it was an illegal pick play. But Jalen Hurts is open in space, and what does he do? He makes something happen with his legs. It didn't look like he was flying downfield, but he made something happen with his legs, got to the Eagles within the 5-yard line. Good play. John Hightower is a one-trick pony to me. Stop trying to do other things for John Hightower. Just get him downfield. Now Hightower has dropped balls this year. That's not Doug Peterson's fault. That's not Carson Wentz's fault. It's not Jalen Hurts' fault. Comes back to Doug. Now, to take Doug off the blame, I then have to look at Howie. Because, yes, there are other receivers, rookie receivers, that are making plays around the league. And don't give me injuries are that factor, and this team's not dealing with injuries. All I know is Justin Jefferson, who, again, Jeff McClain put out another story this morning, stating the report once again, the scouting department of the Philadelphia Eagles said Jefferson, Howie Roseman said Rager. Howie Roseman has final say. Howie Roseman also has the smartest man in the room complex. He goes with Jalen Rager. Vikings get Justin Jefferson. Forget the injury. Injuries can happen to anyone. Justin Jefferson is a 1,200-yard receiver. If Jalen Rager plays all 16 games, do you think Jalen Rager is reaching 1,000 yards receiving this year? Because I sure as hell don't. I see balls in the end zone where Jalen Rager isn't even making attempts on. He ran that post route this past week. Hurts threw it slightly behind him. Yeah, it wasn't a good throw. That's why Hurts shouldn't be left off the hook either. But Jalen Rager didn't even make a play for it. Whereas maybe a guy like Justin Jefferson, who is showing that he is a man on that field, maybe makes that play. So it comes back to the evaluation process too. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside just 2 years ago instead of DK Metcalf. When you already had a player that is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in Alshon Jeffrey, a possession receiver. It made no sense to make that draft pick, but the owner had a buddy in Stanford that maybe they have a cocktail together with, so you draft Arcega-Whiteside. It is the epitome of the Philadelphia Eagles. That two-minute cut right there. Not being able to game plan for the guys that you have. Screw injuries. You know who you have. Game plan for them. Doug can't figure it out. The evaluation process of drafting these players. Not drafting A.J. Brown. Not drafting D.K. Metcalf. I see you're not drafting Justin Jefferson. I'm not saying LaVisca Chenault should have gone in the first round over Jalen Rager, but you get what I'm saying. The guy's got talent. Drafting Jalen Hurts instead of Denzel Mims, who Denzel Mims is making plays for one of the worst teams in football for the New York Jets. So I look at this, I hear that cut, and it is the epitome of the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, it's bigger than just the wide receiver position, right? They suck at evaluating linebackers. They suck at playing linebackers. They suck at evaluating cornerbacks, thinking that Avante Maddox would be an actual value option to be a 16-week outside corner. From day one, I said, let's see if he could do it for 16 weeks, and he couldn't do it. I feel bad the guy got injured, but when he wasn't injured, he wasn't playing well. Believing in Cravon LeBlanc to be your starting, you know, slot corner, or Nickell Robey-Coleman, who's been bad his entire career, right? His best play was a penalty that wasn't called against the New Orleans Saints. Nickell Robey-Coleman's best play was a missed penalty call a few years ago. This evaluation process all over the field is bad. And it comes back to Howie Roseman. And then the guys that do play comes back to Doug, comes back to Jim Schwartz. It is that two-minute cut right there is the epitome of what is wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. Alexi in Hamilton. Alexi, you're on the Fanatic. Hello, Alexi.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? What do you got?
Sorry, let me put down my cinnamon bun.
All right. How's it taste?
What's going on? Yeah, man. I'm sorry. All I got to say, man, after last night, it's all anxiety, man. It's all anxiety when I'm watching the Sixers now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think it's because I have such high hopes. And I called you guys, like, last year after they got knocked out of the playoffs, saying, oh, give Ben Simmons some time. He'll get there. But yeah. You know what, man? I thought he would be there like this season. I thought he'd be out here shooting jump shots, but I just feel like he's so far. I mean, I watched a video of him practicing, and he's just like not even close, I feel like. And
well, let me ask you something, Alexi. So before the season started, you did not want to move on from him, right?
No, I was with Ben. I was with Embiid. I was with both of them, man. I had their backs, but
through four games, you're feeling differently already.
Already, man. Yeah. I was like, please, don't trade him for Harden. But now, give me Harden. I want Harden. Like,
see, that's the problem. That's the problem. But you had to have made that decision before the season started. Now, you can still make the trade. Don't get me wrong. But the more and more Ben Simmons struggles, we talk about James Harden, the more and more he gets angry, the fatter he gets, the lower his value gets. The more and more Ben Simmons struggles, lower his value might get.
Lowering value. But
you don't think the league notices this, too, that he doesn't shoot the ball?
You're absolutely right. You know, but, and I think he'll get there one day, but I don't think that day will be when Embiid is still in his prime. Like, we have the best center in the league, in my opinion. We have the best center in the league. And we got to take advantage of that. We got to capitalize right now. The only way to capitalize right now is I think we got to move on from Ben. I mean, dude, just look at him last night jogging all over the place. How are you going to have your star jogging all over the place?
Nah, he doesn't jog. He gives it his all, and I appreciate the call. I won't take that away from him. Simmons gives it his all in terms of effort, right? He doesn't take the shot. I can't say he's not dogging it out in the court.
Yeah, my man's deep into a cinnamon bun saying Ben Simmons isn't running enough.
Come on, man. You know, hold on a second. Let me put down my cinnamon bun. Ben Simmons doesn't hustle. Hold on now. He can't be doing that.
He hustles. He plays good D.
I mean, yeah, he's an incredible.
He just doesn't have the offensive initiative. It's not the physical. It's the mental.
I love sports, man. There was this. What the hell's his name? What's the punter that used to play for the Colts? Pat McAfee. I almost said McCaffrey.
Oh, that video with Rodgers.
With Rodgers. So Pat McAfee does his show, and he had Aaron Rodgers yesterday, and they were talking about which city was, you know, the best trash talk city, blah, blah, blah.
We got to play that. I'll grab that audio.
Okay. Clean it up. Rodgers says Philly. And Rodgers talks about a fan from the stands who's just yelling at Rodgers. And this is when Rodgers was a rookie or second year, right? He's not playing yet. Brett Favre is still quarterback of the Packers. And a fan is yelling at Rodgers saying, oh, get the splinters out of your butt. For a full four quarters. Non-stop, get the splinters out of your butt to Aaron Rodgers. That's dedication. But then McAfee tells the story that apparently this guy was yelling all game at him. All game. And then finally McAfee turns around, and there he is. He's drinking like a 40-ouncer. And is, you know, he wasn't telling him he sucked, but I'm sure he probably did at some point. And it's like, yeah, my man is drinking a 40. He was apparently like 300 to 400 pounds, and he's probably telling somebody that they're not good at sports. And it's like, yeah, don't go Cinnabon. You're eating the cinnamon bun, and Ben Simmons is not hustling. Don't give me that. Is the cinnamon bun underrated?
Depends where you get it. The Cinnabon? Oh, big time underrated. Okay. That's a great item there.
Well,
a lot
about,
of calories.
I'm talking about also like the you go to the bakery, and you get the cinnamon bun or like
if you get a good one,
rolls.
Yeah. The one out of like the tube can that you can make. I'm not a big fan of those, but a legitimate cinnamon bakery bun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely underrated breakfast.
Because that's a big down the shore thing too. You wake up early and you go to one of those spots, right, where they make the donuts and all that. Like the bakery down the shore is always good.
Yeah. They got the good water down there.
Like, have you ever had a bad bakery item down the shore?
I don't think you have.
Ocean City, New Jersey's got some great ones. Wildwood's got some great ones. I don't remember having a bad bakery item down the shore. You go around here, Philly's got great bakeries, but every once in a while, there's somebody thinks that they can survive in that industry, and they're just not as good. They don't have the touch. The bakery down the shore can't get beat. Let's go to Graph and Media. Graph, what's going on, man?
Yo, brother. Actually, hilarious. You guys there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you loud and clear, dude.
Oh, word. Yeah, so hilarious you're bringing up Cinnabons. I actually had a bake-off with my mom for Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
And I made, like, authentic Cinnabons in my own stove.
Dude.
So now it's like the world has ended because I know how to do it. I got the cream cheese filling. I got all that down.
That's the problem. Once you know how to do it and you know it's delicious, like, you know, of course you know the great man Karate Mark. My man's got his own brick pizza oven in his backyard, right? Now he's having pizza every day. Now, Karate Mark has 0% body fat on him because he's a great karate instructor and works out. But if I had a brick oven pizza in my backyard, I'd be in trouble, dude.
Yeah, it'd be game over. I mean, I'm kind of nervous now because I actually did such a good job that now, like, I'm expecting to make more here. So we'll
and the problem
get back
is
to me in a couple months. You know, we're not doing this workout thing, this sports thing. So I'm
Problem, Grant, because that's what it says on the board, Graph. The other problem, Graph, you and I, as fellow members who like to partake in certain things.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah,
cinnamon you know, bun is probably not going to, you know, being able to make those after partaking is a problem.
Oh, bro, I probably ate, I think I ate about 3.5 of them during Christmas.
Yeah.
So you know what I was doing.
But, yeah, I know what you were doing.
Let's talk some coaches in Philadelphia real quick, okay? I need people to lay off Ben Simmons for at least midway through this season. And the reason why I bring that up is because Ben Simmons does not know how to run a half-court offense, okay?
Yeah.
And that is simply because his entire life, he was the most athletic person on the court.
Mm-hmm.
He would get the ball after having 20 rebounds in a game and run up the court and dunk it or lay it up or do a pull-up jumper, whatever, right?
Well, he wasn't doing no pull-up jumpers, but go ahead.
Well, you know, he was shooting threes and stuff.
Yeah, he was shooting threes in high school. I remember the summer league when he first got drafted. He was shooting, I know.
Yeah, and now he looks like he's shooting with the wrong hand. But anyway, that's a story for another day.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is like Doc Rivers is what I want Doc Rivers to be is what Doug Peterson is not to Carson Wentz, okay? Doc Rivers was a point guard. He played in the NBA. He was a highly intelligent individual. He wasn't the greatest point guard to ever live, but the reason why he was, you know, an NBA caliber player was because he understood the game of basketball so well.
Right.
So I want, and what I'm hoping is, and what I'm looking at is a Doc Rivers who wants to make Ben Simmons the best facilitator of the basketball the NBA has ever seen. Okay. If you can get me a Ben Simmons that gets me a double double every night and go 16-10 or somewhere around there, 16-11, that means he's adding to about 45 points to 50 points of total offense a night. That's what I need from my point guard.
Yeah, here, my only thing is, Graf, and I'm starting to fall victim of the losing patience, and I understand why people lost patience after year one, year two, year three, is you're saying give him more time. He's always been the best player on the court. We've been saying that for 3 years and four games
now.
Yeah,
but he's never had a coach professionally
that
looks at the game of basketball the way in which Doc Rivers does.
And that I agree with. Graf, enjoy your cinnamon buns, man, and everything else. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, and that's the hope for Doc, right? And that's why after last season ended, I did not want to trade Ben. I wanted to get rid of Brett Brown, and I wanted Ben to have a new coach. But I couldn't help but get very intrigued by the idea of moving on from Simmons to bring James Harden. As soon as Daryl Morey came in, right? That's when it all started. The second Daryl Morey was hired by the Philadelphia 76ers, the James Harden rumor started. And the Harden wanting out of Houston obviously just added to that. That's why, before the season even started, I couldn't help but say, you know what? It will kill me to trade Ben, but I am not against doing it. Because I think Harden and Embiid could fit, unless Harden continues to bring all that baggage, which is a big if. I know that there's a big possibility. I also thought on games when, you know, Embiid's out, like Cleveland, Harden's going to still give you 40, and you probably still win the game, whereas Simmons gives you 15. But I get what Graf is saying about the entire, you know, maybe Doc Rivers can figure him out. Well, Doc Rivers is saying he doesn't want him to shoot. And I go, all right, well, that's his biggest problem. Now, maybe you can try to really attack his strengths and really make him help work his strengths. But in today's NBA, when shooting is key, and he doesn't even do it, and as I painted the picture earlier to you, Connor, and to the people listening, if you're defending Ben Simmons, except for his size and athleticism, I can't defend Ben Simmons. You can't defend Ben Simmons, even though we have a story for another time, because you think you can D up somebody. Unbelievable. I can't believe I haven't brought this up yet.
Got great defense.
I can't believe you. But if you're another 6'10 dude who can move, you can probably D up Ben Simmons. Why? Because if he starts going one direction, you just got to block that lane in which he's dribbling. Because he's not pulling up. He's not stepping back. He might do a spin move. But because he's not shooting, you know the other big man who is guarding Embiid just has to collapse on Ben. And you saw that last night with Toronto. Every time Simmons drove the lane, he was met by Aaron Baines or Len. Always met by somebody. And Ben Simmons, who's not the smoothest guy around the rim, is not going to get more smooth when two guys are defending him at the rim. Yes, he could kick it out, but that's a lot of times when he makes the bad pass. We have open lines right now, 610-632-0975. Josh and my man Karate Mark, who's making a pizza as we speak. You guys hang tight. We'll get to you guys on the other side, 610-632-0975. Also on the other side, we're going to start rolling through the highlights, the audio highlights of the best and worst moments of 2020, because we want to narrow it down to four of them, and we're going to vote on them tomorrow during tomorrow's show. Now, there's a couple that I can't get audio for, right? Like Daryl Morey getting hired, as somebody brought up earlier, which will probably be in the top four. Obviously, we don't have audio for that. But there are other good ones that we do have. Connor did a great job this morning getting them. Good moments and bad moments. We'll roll through them. I also want your suggestions on the phones and on Twitter, 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Cuz right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.